Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, today's the last day we can say Happy Easter. We conclude today on this Feast of Pentecost, the Paschal celebrations. And Holy Mother Church observes this descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and manifests the power, as he manifests the power of the church and ratifies the new covenant that the Eternal Father has made with his people through the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and also through his ascension. It's 50 days today from Easter. When one hears this word Pentecost, which means 50 days, what comes to mind may not be the feast we were celebrating. We know of the community known as the Pentecostals. They come into the scene in the early 20th century. Or one thinks about the coming of the Holy Spirit and his gifts of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which began in the 1960s and 70s. But this feast of Pentecost doesn't come around as recent as just 100 years ago or a few decades ago. This feast has its roots back over the millennia in the first covenant that God made with his holy people on Mount Sinai, going back to that first Passover of the Jewish people, which was also 50 days ago when they were set free from Egypt, passed over the plagues, they passed over the Red Sea, and then made a 50-day journey to Mount Sinai, where God gave them, through the prophet Moses, the Torah, the law, the words of the covenant. And it happened on that mountain, visibly manifested through smoke, fire, earthquakes, strong winds, and many other events, that if we recount them, we can understand what happened in that first reading from the Acts of the Apostles with Peter and the Apostles, the early church, and even what as we commemorate it now. We can go back and read in those chapters of Exodus, chapters 19 through 35, what happened when Moses was given the law from God on Mount Sinai. We're familiar with it if you've seen the Charlton Heston film of the Ten Commandments. You get a visible representation with some Hollywood liberties of what may have happened. Moses goes up to the mountain and is given the two stone tablets of the covenant, which are written the word of God as he descended upon the mountain and gave these laws to Moses and his holy people, forming them as a people, manifesting the new covenant. But while Moses was up on the mountain, these people whom God had set free from slavery to Egypt, in Egypt, with the first Passover, had turned away from the Lord and reverted back to paganism and were worshiping the golden calf. And when this was revealed to Moses, God threatened to destroy his people for this great abomination they had done. And Moses begged God to repent of his wrath, that they might be spared. Yet as soon as Moses came down from the mountain and saw what was going on in the encampment, his own anger, his own rage became inflamed, and he threw down the two stone tablets, crushed them on the ground. And as the account goes, when he saw the golden calf, he ordered that it be destroyed by fire and ground into dust. And he gathered around him the priestly tribe of Levi, and 3,000 men were slaughtered that day for leading the people away from God back into paganism. And then Moses ascended the mountain again to seek God's guidance and for the atonement of the evil that had been done as they rejected God and his covenant. But there was fire, proclamation of the covenant, and 3,000 men that day on that first Pentecost. Now, if we fast forward to the fulfillment in the new covenant, on this same day, this Pentecost, which we commemorate with the proclamation of the gospel now boldly, its first proclamation to the nations, the first manifestation that the new covenant has been forged, we see Peter and the 11 in the Acts of the Apostles. Again, 50 days after our Lord's resurrection. Same thing, 50 days after the first, that's after the Christian Passover. 50 days after the resurrection, the 11 other disciples and the mother of our Lord are gathered in the upper room, the same upper room that they were gathered in for the Last Supper, that same upper room where they were on the morning of the resurrection, in fear and trembling, where, as we heard in the gospel, the Lord appeared to them and breathed on them, first giving them the power of the Holy Spirit to forgive sin and to sort of calm them down in all their fears. Again, 50 days later, gathered in the upper room, that same Holy Spirit who descended upon the Blessed Mother as Jesus was incarnate in her womb, the same Spirit who spoke through the prophets, burst through the doors of that house. Again, wind, earthquake, shaking, and fire. And in flames of fire and tongues, he appeared and manifested himself upon Mary, Peter, the apostles, and those disciples. And what did he do? He empowered them, like Moses, to go forth and proclaim the covenant, the gospel, the good news. But this time not written on stone, but written in their hearts, in their very lives, to bring to these people all the wonders that God had done. These same people who were hiding for fear of their lives on Easter Sunday morning are now going before the Jews, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the Mesopotamians, the Judeans, the Cappadocians, the Pontians, the Asians, people from Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Rome, Cretans, the Arabians, all these people of pagan nations. And they proclaim the gospel. And the power of the Holy Spirit would not even let language hinder the message of the gospel. Each of them heard the apostles speaking in their own tongue, in their own language. And this Peter, who had denied the Lord on the very night he was offered up for us, on the night of the Last Supper, now stands up like Moses and boldly proclaims, "You who put the Lord to death, God has made Lord in Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And instead of hearing rejection of the covenant like Moses had done, and the seeing of the people turning away from God, you have this multitude of pagan peoples from around the world turning to the Lord, receiving the message. And what do? They respond, "How then? How then are we to be saved? How are we to be redeemed? What must we do? We accept this covenant. We accept this working of God. We believe you." And Peter's response was, "Then repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the Holy Spirit, so that you may be saved from this generation." An acceptance of the covenant. Pagans turning to the Lord instead of people turning from the Lord to paganism. A giving of the Holy Spirit, God making himself known in the same way he did to Moses. Earthquakes, fires, and a rushing wind. And then how many people? Peter gathers around him the apostles, the 12, the first priest of the new covenant. And how many are converted? 3,000 people. 3,000 people not slain for their infidelity, but 3,000 people baptized and added to the Lord that day. How awesome this is. Do you see the connections? How beautiful it is, the working of the Holy Spirit as he brought us the sacred scriptures, the But the New Testament is somehow hidden in the Old, and the Old helps us to understand what he is telling us in the New. And then what does this speak to all of us then, hearing this proclaimed now, today, as we commemorate this Pentecost? Each of us has been brought into this new covenant by the baptism we have received from Jesus Christ. Whether we were young or whether we were old, when we were brought into the new covenant by baptism, we have been redeemed, we have been saved. Have you been saved? When did you accept the Lord Jesus? When you were baptized. Yes, you have been saved. When was it ratified? When was it confirmed? Well, there you go. There's the name of that sacrament, confirmation in the Holy Spirit. When that sacrament was confirmed, ratified, and brought to its fulfillment, when the Holy Spirit descended upon you in that great sacrament. Yes, you have been saved. And then how was it brought forward? Through the sacrament of marriage or holy orders. Or through the vows of religious life or the commitments you have made to God. The beauty of this feast is that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, our very God, is still active. He comes into our midst again today to ratify and renew us in that great mystery that we have been celebrating for 50 days, that we prepared for 40 and during Lent. And so, the message is still the same. How are we doing? How are we living out that salvation that we were given in baptism? How have we been renewed in it? How are we carrying it forth? Are we living as sons and daughters of the eternal Father? Are we heeding the gospel? Are we allowing Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to remove that which is keeping us from him? Or are we worshiping some golden calf in the desert? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to melt the hardness of our hearts, or to help us to see those aspects of our lives where we still need to be converted and trust in him and say, yes, Lord, you take over. Lead me, I trust in you. On this Pentecost day, as we conclude the Easter season, may this be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill my heart with your holy gifts. Let my weakness be penetrated with your strength this very day, that I may fulfill all the duties of my state conscientiously, that I may do what is right and just. Let my charity be such as to offend no one, to hurt no one's feelings, so generous as to pardon sincerely any wrong that is done to me. Assist me, Holy Spirit, in all the trials of my life. Enlighten me in my ignorance. Advise me in my doubts. Strengthen me in my weakness. Help me in all my needs. Protect me in temptations. Console me in afflictions. Graciously hear me, O Holy Spirit, and pour your light into my heart, my soul, and my mind. Assist me to live a holy life and to grow in goodness and grace. Help me to move beyond the excuses that I make for not following you more closely. And give me that grace to trust in you, so that you may lead me where I know I must go. May the Holy Spirit this day, as we celebrate Pentecost, renew you in what we have been celebrating throughout this Easter season, so that we can prefer nothing whatever to Jesus Christ, and he can bring us all to everlasting life. Amen.